Welcome to Impact You, conversations helping you create your leadership ripple effect. Let the learning begin.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to Impact You. I am so excited to be sitting in the studio today with my friend and colleague, Tony Bodo, with Tony Bodo International. So, Tony, it's great to have you with me today.
Thanks, Kayla. It's great to be here.
So, tell our listeners a little bit about Tony Bodo International. Who are you? What is this company?
Well, Tony Bodo International is a consulting firm that specializes in helping Fortune 1000 companies or fast-growing startups to really understand what their customers are experiencing. And we really focus primarily on helping these companies and their executives really develop an, we call it an X-ray vision into the hearts and minds of their customers. And when they have that, what they're able to do is they can change their marketing copy. They can tweak the words that are used. They can little nuances and things, or they can innovate new products and services that really hit the core of their customers' needs and desires before their competitors do. And they can actually improve processes as well. And all of this is hidden within the customer's language and how they communicate with them. In addition, it's also in the behavior. So the sales patterns, the contact patterns. So we really bring a lot of this information together for these companies and really help them reveal something that they didn't know existed before.
That's fascinating. And I, of course, I know you, and I have the privilege of doing some work with you from time to time. How in the world did you get into a business that focuses on this voice of the customer?
I actually kind of fell into it. I've done business intelligence and customer relationship management, helped build those systems and the teams that do the analysis around that since about 2000, and did it for a couple public companies. And I think it was January of 2007, I was sitting in a meeting with my vice president, and he turns to me and says, "You're now in charge of guest experience for a hotel company that I worked for." And it was that fast, that simple. But really what happened after that, because I didn't feel adequate as far as, you know, knowing what to do, surveys, what to do from a customer experience perspective. I was one of those people that tried to avoid psychology classes when I went through my MBA program. And so I had to really dig in, and I read everything I could get my hands on about psychology, about the customer experience. And it was really, customer experience was an emerging field at that time, really just being birthed. It was more about customer service is what you had to really look for. And since then, over the last 7 years, it's really taken off, and now it becomes a very popular thing to talk about. So I really dived in at that point and really started studying psychology and neuroscience and trying to understand how the human experiences things. And as a result of that, how do we change or transform them through experiences rather than just changing the environment around them? How do we help move them so they can accomplish what it is that they want to do in life? How do they reach success or significance, not just have a really nice transaction?
Sure. So we're talking psychology, we're talking relational, we're talking conversations and interactions that a business has with their customer.
Exactly.
So you made an interesting statement a bit ago. You said prior to the emergence of this new focus, that customer service is what you would hear about more in businesses. And I think, you know, our leaders listening today would agree. There's so much emphasis on, do you have excellent customer service, and what is that for your business? But you're speaking about a different level of interaction with the customer, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, so why in today's market is customer experience really the focus a leader should be thinking about, maybe instead of or in place of customer service?
That is a great question. In today's market, products themselves are commodities. We can find basically anything we need from multiple vendors at various price points. So products are not really a way to distinguish yourself anymore. And service is a way to distinguish yourself, but there's limits there when we talk about customer service, because a lot of outsourcing is being done. So some companies have the same call centers in, let's say, India, as an example, as their competitors do. And so there's not really a distinction there because they're all using the same third-party providers. The real distinction comes in understanding the experience your particular target customers want and understanding the mindset that they have going into that experience and the mindset that you want them to have coming out of that experience. When you can effectively bridge the gap between where they are and where they want to be, that's the experience, that's the transformational experience that you evoke from them. That distinguishes you from your competitors because your competitors cannot do it the same way. They may have a slightly different target market. They may have a slightly different perspective on how to do the business itself. And their products and services may not evoke the same type of experience that you are trying to evoke through yours.
So you mentioned two elements. You say the mindset of that customer's desire. What do they want out of the experience? And then from the business side, what do you want that customer to experience? So help our leaders understand a little bit more what you mean. I mean, isn't it just, I'm a customer, so I want you to take care of me. I want you to give me a good price or good value for the service or product you're selling me. I want your people to be nice to me and be friendly. Is it more than that?
Absolutely, it's more than that. And I like the way that you worded the question because it helps me dig in even deeper. It's no longer about the transaction. It's really about the ongoing conversation, if you will, between the customer and the employee, or the customer and the company as a whole. It's not just about this transaction today or leading up to this transaction. And that's where a lot of companies still focus, is at that transactional level. Really, when we look at it, what we're saying is a customer has needs and desires in their life. So we're not just talking today or tomorrow. We're talking they want to be successful, or they want to lead a life of significance. And so when we start looking at it from that perspective, it changes what we might provide to them. A typical example is that right now a lot of companies are focusing on delighting the customer. I'm not going to say that's the wrong thing, but it's not necessarily right for everyone. And I'll give you an example. Let's say you're a coach, a fitness coach. It's not about delighting your customer. It's about helping your customer work through the hard challenges of physical fitness to get to their goal weight or their goal, body fat, body mass index, that thing. And so you may not be delighting them in the moment because really you're trying to move them through a transformational experience, which can be painful at times or can be hard at times. And so when I look at it, I go back to positive psychology, and I really go back to the neuroscience behind the positive psychology. And to date, they've really been able to define five independent things that humans seek when we want to move to the positive side of our life, when we want to feel more well-being and happier, if you will. And those five things are positive emotions, engagement or flow, like being in the flow, being in the zone, positive relationships, meaning is really where we come from. We create value in our mind, and then accomplishment. And so if you look at it, I believe customer experiences really need to consider more than just delight, because delight's just part of positive emotion. We need to look at the full spectrum and say, of these five, what would we love to bring to our customers? What would we love them to feel? And how really do they want to feel down the road? Kind of balance out what we would love and what we think they would love.
This is fascinating because you really are getting into how the mind works and how that impacts our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions, our actions, etc. So I love the example of a fitness coach. And so for our listeners listening in today, let's say I'm a supervisor or a manager for a retail company. And we think, well, we have customers that come in every day who are buying goods from us. How would that example translate for someone, say, in the service industry, like a retailer or an insurance provider, or, you know, fill in the blank, someone who makes widgets in a manufacturing company? What's the connection there?
That's a great question again. So let me take the insurance side. That's an easy one to kind of play with. You want to have a good experience. You want it in the transaction, in the communication between the insurance agent and the customer. You want to have a pleasant experience. But more than that, why is someone buying insurance? They're buying insurance because they're concerned about some future incident, a negative impact. So it could be impacting their financial security. Maybe if it's auto insurance, you know, they could lose their car. How are they going to get to their job? So it's the job of the insurance agent to reassure them that everything's going to be okay. And so if you look at those five positive elements that I shared earlier, there's definitely some positive emotion that you want to have. But an accident, a car accident, is a negative experience. And so you want to make sure that they feel that your arms are wrapped around them, if that were to happen. You want to be able to share with them that, you know, their family will be taken care of if it's life insurance, as an example. And so that's where the accomplishment, let's take a male figure, a father, you know, he wants to know that his kids are going to get to college even if he's not there to see it happen. So he buys the life insurance. And really being able to communicate that through the marketing and then effectively being able to deliver that in the operations is what's key. If you promise something in marketing, you set up this expectation, and then you can't deliver it, you create the disappointment that you're trying to avoid. And so you actually create a negative experience out of what could have been a very positive experience if you just delivered what you would promised and what they expected. In the case of like retail, as an example, let's say you're in a popular retail store. Again, in the moment, people want to be, you know, pleasantly delighted. Surprised, delighted, yeah. Exactly. But at the same time, they're there buying something for a more significant purpose. So example I've used in the past would be, let's say a woman is going out shopping for a new dress. Maybe she has a date that night with a new, you know, suitor, right? And so she comes in there and she is thinking about how she wants to present herself. She's thinking about the experience she wants to evoke from him, or, you know, and so they move through this process of saying, imagining themselves in this new dress. And they're thinking all the time about the dress. They're not necessarily looking at the price tag or anything else. And so the salesperson needs to move to the same place and look for, what does success mean to this woman? Is it having a really good first date? Or is she even thinking as far as, this could be the one? And that's where significance comes in, because she may be thinking about, well, if he's the one and look at all this, and she doesn't want to mess up that first date. And so it's that level of importance. It has nothing to do with the transaction in the moment. It's about what she wants to do with what she's purchasing in the moment in the future.
It's the meaning
exactly
around that interaction.
Yes.
The reason behind that purchase.
Yes.
Taking it at a much deeper level. So we're talking about really understanding, for a business to understand a much deeper interaction and relationship with the customer. Now, I happen to know you, and I know you love data. You love what that data can tell us. So how would a business go about trying to get their arms around going beyond the transaction, going beyond a customer service experience with whomever their customers are? How do you begin to understand how all this fits together?
Well, in essence, it really comes down to understanding the behavior of the customer. So we typically will start from looking at what is the behavior? What have they done from a sales perspective? How long has it been since they you know, visited us, as an example? How much do they typically buy? When did they drop their product, if it's like an insurance product or some other type of annuity or subscription? And we look at those behaviors first and identify the groups based on the type of behavior that they had. Then from there, what we do is we say, okay, what did they tell us prior to that behavior taking place, prior to that particular event? And is there this chronological unfolding? And it could take place over 3 to 6 months. It's not as if one day I suddenly wake up and decide, I want to change my relationship with this company. So we want to look at how things have built up over a series of conversations with that client or with that customer. And as you do so, what can be revealed is that nuances. As an example, a particular client of mine, we were looking at why they were dropping their products. And what we found was 3 to 6 months before, these individuals, these customers were saying things like, you know, my budget's getting a little bit tight. Now, they gave no indication that they were really trying. What they were trying to do in that conversation was saying, do you have a way to help me? But they didn't know enough or weren't aware enough to ask that specific question. And the company missed the opportunities. So fast forward 3 to 6 months, when they get to the point of saying, okay, now I'm desperate, now I just need to make a change, they had gone shopping already, found a cheaper provider, and they dropped the product. And their excuse was, or the comment was that they made in the call center was, your rates are too high. But in reality, if the company had done something much sooner, because life got too expensive around the customer, you know, they were still buying their Starbucks coffee, there was still great value there. And so this particular company did not do a great job of expressing, you know, your rates have gone up, your prices have gone up, and we're providing this new type of value to you. And so when they shopped competitively, they weren't looking for that value comparison. They were looking at the price comparison. And that's a real challenge that most companies have today.
Sure. So you gave us the example of, you know, 6 months prior, the customer said this to us. So are you describing gathering that input or gathering that perspective or information from the customer? Is that data that's coming from somewhere through surveys? Are these, this is a loaded question, by the way, as I begin to voice it. Where is that information coming from? Because you said the company missed it. They didn't hear that. So is for our listeners out there today, are they thinking through, are we surveying our customers? Are we training our team to listen differently? How does that information actually get gathered or garnered in some way?
It can really be all of the above. So we've worked with a number of clients in a variety of ways. As an example, we can get surveys. We can do surveys. We can do call center notes. We can even just having, let's say, a retail person standing there taking little notes, you know, a little tick sheet, if you will, at the register or at the front desk of a hotel. We've even gone that far. So we give them just a couple, you know, did the customer say something like X, Y, or Z?
So it can be very rudimentary.
Exactly. One of the challenges that we often run into is that companies think they need to create, you know, bring in all this technology and, you know, we're talking, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars. And I say, stop, don't even start there. Let's figure out what you can analyze with what you have today. Let's get a return on that investment of just putting a really smart person onto your data and see what happens. Then we can figure out how we want to do this analysis down the road, if you're capturing the right information, or if we need some technology just to automate a process that could work very well. And those are very different scenarios in how you move forward. Another example, one of the things that we did, we had a client that was a very fast-growing small company, but you know they're expected to be a mid-sized company very soon. We worked with them last year, and they had done a survey about 2 weeks before a particular sales event that they had going on, a campaign. And we could tell after this, looking at the sales data afterwards, we could tell from the survey language 2 weeks before they were offered a product, which product they were going to buy, or if they were going to buy a product at all. The nuances in the language were there because people think about these things for a long time. They don't make a purchase, for, you know, an impulse purchase necessarily, unless you're at the register, you know, at the grocery store. Most purchases are really thought out, but it's a lot of it is subconsciously done. And so we can see it showing up in these patterns, these hidden patterns in the language, but we may not see it in behavior until after the fact.
So you're beginning to unpack some very deep ideas. Which I think about for a manager or a leader who is thinking through and listening to our conversation today, where do they even begin? So they may say, well, I'm a frontline supervisor and I've got a team of 10 that I'm telling them every day, go out there and take care of that customer. So from a leadership perspective, What are two or three things that you would say if you don't do anything at this point, start here? What are two or three very practical, tactical, maybe ideas that a leader could begin thinking about this, knowing there's so much more that we could do? Where's a good starting point?
I think the best thing for a leader to do is notice what you're noticing. And that's a phrase I learned from a mentor of mine, but it's a great phrase because too often we get caught up with doing and we're not aware of what's happening around us. And so if a manager or a leader will just really listen to what's being said, both by his or her employees or by the customers, and teaching that skill to your employees is key as well. Listen, what are the types of adjectives that are coming up over and over again throughout the day? How are people describing you? You know, those are things that are really key to understanding what the mindset is, because our language is often subconscious, but it reveals our mindset. In the beginning was the word, right? That's true. There's a lot of truth to that. The other thing that I would really look at is an understanding of what is the vision for the experience you want to evoke in your customer. I am amazed at the size companies that don't have a vision for the experience that they want to evoke in their customer. They have a really good, you know, mission statement maybe, and they know the products and services they have, but they don't understand that they really need to focus on what vision, what is it that the member is going to, or the customer is going to experience. And then how do you draw that out from the customer? So really, there's an exercise to have, and I'll give it here because it's a fun one to do. It is a can be a very challenging one for companies. But I have my clients actually go in and describe 100 unique, different experiences they would love their customers to have.
And 100.
100. And it can be in the whole flow. If you think about the flow of a lifetime of a customer, you want them to be open. You want them to be aware of your products and services. You want them to love your company. I'm just listing a few here. You can come up with 100 of those and you begin to see, wow, this is impressive. I could do some amazing things with my company to move people from this place to this place.
That's one of those inspiring and you're right, very challenging exercises, but it begins to open eyes of what we could do with this. You know, Tony, I know this is a first of a several part series because there's so much that we could unpack and help our listeners really think through what are some very specific strategies if we are intentional about implementing those with our team across our company, we begin to really transform the experience our customers have, which immediately then begin to impact profitability, sustainability, competitive advantage, all those things, those business words we talk about a lot, but there has to be something very specific behind the scenes, very intentional, that allow those things to take place. So this is part one of several conversations we're going to have over time to help our listeners dig in and really begin to understand the wow and the opportunity that's a part of a customer experience. So in the meantime, how could our listeners find you or find more about Tony Botto International?
The best thing to do is go to my website. It is www.tonyboto.com. That's TonyBodoh.com.
Wonderful. And we know if they do a search for you on LinkedIn or on Twitter, there are other ways to connect with you and follow what's happening in your business.
Absolutely.
So, Tony, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. I very much look forward to our next conversations.
Thanks, Kayla. I look forward to it as well.